You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hello and welcome to Atheistically Speaking. This is episode 219. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. Today's episode is all about the recording between Sam Harris and Maryam Namazi of his recent podcast, which is called the Waking Up Podcast. I'm sure most of you know that happened already. I mean, he has a bazillion followers. It's been on Twitter. It's been everywhere. I listened to it and then I listened to it again. And I've done an extraordinary amount of preparation for this show by painstakingly going through it. I'm going to talk about that. Let me first talk about the background and my expectations and mindset going into it. So a lot of you probably know that Maryam Namazi had called Harris kind of bigoted, had called his views bigoted at least, certainly has called his has called Tommy Robinson bigoted, and Harris also had Douglas Murray on his show, and she has a problem with Douglas Murray and his views on immigration, etc. So there was some bad blood on Twitter, and Sam Harris said, why don't you come on the show? Let's have a discussion. Let's do it. A lot of you also know that I've been a pretty big advocate and fan of Maryam Namazi's for a while. The Goldsmiths thing happened. I was completely in her corner on that. I think that, you know, I spent a couple episodes talking about it, actually. I also think she's done a great job in advocating for women's rights within Islam and fighting Islamism, all kinds of stuff. I've always been a fan. And so when I heard their recording together, I was very excited. I even mentioned this to Ina Nice Mangoes on Twitter. You'll know Ina from an episode, a past episode here, if you don't know her already. We actually recorded, Ina and I, about 2 weeks ago. And this was supposed to be today's episode. But after this podcast happened between Sam Harris and Maryam Namazi, I had to react to it. And I'm going to still post the Ina show, but I'm going to do it probably Thursday because I just have to get this off my chest. And it's very, I want it to be timely. I don't want to wait until Thursday to post a reaction because by then it's probably old news. It's probably already old news, but I'm still doing it now. So anyway, my expectations were really high. I was excited for this. I thought, these are two people who I think they disagree. I mean, going into this, these were my thoughts. They disagree probably on immigration, I think. But I thought maybe when they talk it out, maybe they won't really disagree, or maybe they'll be able to find, you know, the common ground, or at least illustrate the disagreement. And then, you know, I can decide as someone who I feel firmly in the middle, if not toward Maryam's side on these issues, on the issues of profiling and immigration. I'd say more so on profiling, I'm anti-Sam Harris's view going into this. And on immigration, I don't really know. I'm not an expert on, because so much of the immigration problem has to do with the specifics of Europe and how the borders work there. And I'm just not an expert on that. So I don't want to pretend to be an expert on something I'm not. I do see the trouble with possibly allowing, millions of people all of one religion and a very conservative view of that religion. I see the problem if that's what's happening. However, I also am open to, Maryam's concerns of and everybody's concerns of we need to help these people, we need to help refugees, etc. And I was very much looking forward to trying to figure out where I stood on that based on this discussion. Needless to say, for everyone who's listened to the Harris Namazi podcast, none of that happened. None of this good discussion that I'm describing happened. Nothing happened. It was awful. It was a terrible discussion. I was really depressed about it, actually. I listened to it because when I heard Sam Harris, he started off by saying, you know, kind of giving a disclaimer for how badly it went. And I thought, really? I just had no reason to believe that would be the case. But it turns out I was dead wrong on that. And I'm going to go into what I think went wrong. So my method for this was I re-listened to the podcast. I took extensive notes because Maryam tweeted a lot afterward and was kind of all over the place with what she said about it. And that made me really want to document the reality of the discussion. So I somewhat painstakingly and perhaps obsessive compulsively took notes on the episode. Now, I worked for a very long time on this. I got to the end of the first part, which was halfway through the episode, which was about 50 minutes, not counting any of the beginning and all that. And by the time I got done with that, it had been several hours of me doing this. And I felt like I had way more than I could ever discuss on an episode. And this is not going to be a two-parter. I'm not going to do two parts on someone else's podcast. So I decided to stop with the profiling section. So I just am analyzing the profiling part of the discussion. If you guys want me to do this for the second half, let me know. But I have a feeling no one's going to want me to do that because it's really going to be more of the same. So I took extensive notes. These notes can actually be found in the link for this episode. I did a blog post for this episode where I talked about some of this. I linked my notes in PDF form. It's like 5 pages of notes. I actually took account of the time that each person spent talking. That's something I'm going to talk about later. It's kind of interesting to break it down. And so I did all this, and my conclusion is, despite the fact that I think Miriam, or at least I think Sam, is probably wrong on profiling, I actually think his stance on profiling doesn't work, I have to say the reason the discussion went so terribly, the blame has to go to Miriam. I mean, if I were to put a percentage on it, it would be like maybe 94% her fault, because I just don't think she went into this attempting to have any sort of dialogue. And she further displayed a complete lack of comprehension of what happened in all her tweets. And so I'm going to go through all this evidence, and that's the conclusion I came to. It's not the conclusion I started with, so I was hesitant to even tell you guys first, but that's the conclusion I came to, and I'll go through the evidence and let me know where you disagree if you happen to after it's all said and done. There's a couple of tweets that Miriam tweeted after the fact that I think point to a big part of the problem. First one is, he missed my points entirely because he invited me not to hear what I had to say, but to prove me wrong. I was bored too, which was, I think, the response to someone saying they were bored. And the second one, he invited me, remember, to prove me wrong, and now it's my fault I didn't agree. This is just not at all how I would characterize the interaction. First off, Sam has been the one who invites people that he disagrees with and gives them a platform. He gives them the opportunity to come talk on his podcast or write on his blog. And when it comes to profiling, I would say I was probably more convinced. I can't believe it's been this long, but back in May of 2012, Sam Harris had a guy on his blog. He did a email correspondence kind of between him and a guy named Bruce Schneier, I think. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but Bruce Schneier or Schneer or something, who is a security expert. And he had Bruce on, and Bruce, I think, did a good job of dismantling Sam's view on profiling. Ultimately, I think that Sam's thesis on profiling is not incorrect, it's just impractical. That's my view on it. That's my take on it. After looking at the evidence, I think that the problem that we're looking for at the airport is jihadism. It is Islamism. It's that kind of thing. And you can, with some amount of certainty, say there's going to be no such thing as a jihadist who's not a Muslim. Therefore, we can focus on Muslims and anyone who might be on that in that group and exclude some other people, like 80-year-old white women or something. Like, and Sam's whole view, and I hope I'm doing my best to not strawman it here, is that maybe it's not profiling, but more anti-profiling is how he says it. So he says we should just count out people we can obviously say are not terrorists. So old women, families of people who are obviously not there for terrorism, stuff like that. I think the real challenge, and there's a lot of different ways people disagree. The first is to just say, hear the word profiling and just say that's racism. Whatever it is, it's bad. It's bigotry. I don't like profiling. You can't do it. I get that reaction. I think that's honestly somewhat where Miriam's coming from It's just and the word profiling and a lot of her followers, as I'll illustrate in some of her tweets, just they're not going to be for any sort of profiling. And that's one view. It's one that I don't necessarily accept, because if it is true that we can drastically reduce the field of people we're looking at, that's going to be helpful. And as Sam said, if we have to, in our quest for security in our state, in our nation, if we have to spend as much time focusing on Mormons as we do on Muslims just to show that we're being fair, then that's an incredible waste of time. And it's a waste of time that has consequences. It's not just, we don't have infinite time and resources to look for potential terrorist attacks. So, but when it comes to the airlines, Bruce Schneier did a fantastic job. By the way, at Sam's invitation, published on Sam's blog, is a discussion where I think Bruce, in my view, I think he kind of won the discussion. Sam had some good points, et cetera, but I think Bruce essentially won the discussion in saying that it's just not practical to try to profile Muslims, because once you start profiling, well, there's a lot of reasons. I suggest you read the post. I linked it in my blog post. But I actually read that entire thing too. It's very long. It's like a quarter of a book, essentially, or maybe a fifth of a book. But it's worth it. It's interesting if you're fascinated by the topic like I am. And the point of this is, Sam is a guy who's willing to have someone who disagrees with him. He'll post their view, and he posted a dialogue in which I kind of think he lost. Now, maybe Sam thinks he didn't lose, but at any rate, it's not like he buried it. You know, he is willing to do this. He's willing to have someone on. Any discussion you're having where two people disagree, of course, each one is usually trying to convince the other. So that's always going to be true. I mean, Sam didn't have Miriam on to just say, you're right, you're right, you're right, and not, I mean, obviously, they're going to have some amount of debate. But for Miriam to think, oh, he missed my points entirely because he invited me not to hear what I had to say, but to prove me wrong, that's just absolutely absurd. When you go and listen to the episode, I'm going to do a few clips too. I'll do a few audio clips. It's hard to choose because there's a lot to choose from. But Miriam is actually the one who did zero listening. She did not listen to anything Sam said, and she did not try to engage him in his actual views. She just tried to talk over him and say her same. She had essentially one talking point that she said for the entire 50 minutes. There was not a lot of nuance to what she was saying, which came as a real disappointment to me. So I'm going to very briefly summarize the flow of the discussion for just the first part here. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it started off with Sam saying, well, there's introductions, of course, and he gave her time to talk about herself, etc. And then when the actual discussion started, and that's when I started taking notes and monitoring things, he said, okay, here's how this came about. You called some of my views bigoted. You kind of called Douglas Murray a bigot or something like that. And he said, is this accurate? But he also said he didn't want to get in. The whole thing was, and this is maybe one thing that you could pin on Sam. So this is one possible part of the misunderstanding and the bad discussion that maybe Sam could have done better, which is he kept trying to table something for later. Now, of course, he said, I don't want to get into this now, but let me just make sure I have this part right. And Miriam could have picked up on that and said, oh, okay, we don't need to get into this now. But she couldn't resist getting into it now, essentially. So I do think Sam probably could have started that differently, but also she could have just listened to that. It's like she completely ignored that he said that. But anyway, Miriam's basic argument in the beginning is, just as you would say the regressive left promotes Islamism, even though you wouldn't say they are Islamists, that's the way you'd say that Sam's views or Douglas Murray's views are essentially promoting right-wing bigotry without itself being it, you know. So that's sort of her argument. It's something to think about. It's definitely a worthwhile argument. Now, I think if you got into the details of this and you looked at what Sam actually believes, I believe, based on what I know of Sam and his views, that this wouldn't hold up. So when regressive leftists do things like support the Muslim group at Goldsmiths that just completely ruined Miriam's talk that she was giving to the secular student club, that wasn't something inflicted on the Muslim group, as I went over before. when they do that, they're very directly supporting Muslim groups or essentially somewhat Islamist groups. I don't think that group is actually Islamist, but that's Miriam's point. They're shielding Islamist groups by favoring that one side. Now, when Sam says we need to profile Muslims in the airport because this is where the threat is coming from, and the threat is jihadists, and this is something that Miriam actually agrees with in the podcast. She agrees that the threat is from Islamists and jihadists. And when Sam says, okay, then we can focus more on Muslims in security at the airport. Do you really think that shields far right groups who are completely racist against Muslims? I don't know that it does. I don't think Sam saying we can profile at an airport shields people who are, you know, throwing rocks through mosque windows and et cetera, et cetera. But I can see how that's close. Like, I can see how that argument makes sense. I'd definitely be willing to hear both sides of that. I'd love to have them hash it out. But what was so frustrating about this conversation is they never got to have that discussion. And by the time they were done, Miriam had thought they actually had a discussion when they hadn't. Miriam had simply stated her position several million different ways, and Sam had tried to get her to answer specific questions that he had, and then she never did. She would just restate her position and not answer his specific questions. So that's something, again, that's where I come down on that argument, but it is something I could be convinced of. I mean, maybe had they actually gotten to debate the specifics of that comparison, maybe I would have changed my mind. Maybe Miriam would have changed my mind. But she never engaged it. She never let it happen. So then Sam says he thinks that Ina and Miriam pull the trigger on accusations of bigotry a little too early because, you know, he thinks that Murray and him and whoever, they might not agree with Miriam, but they're not. It's not coming from a bigoted point of view. It's a security point of view. And that's kind of where Sam's coming from. And then Miriam goes back and kind of, again, she just repeats herself. This is a 4-minute chunk where she just repeats that, look, it's not necessarily enough to agree that we don't like Islamism. You know, there has to be more to it than that. She says, if I'm anti-US militarism and the Iranian regime agrees with that, I wouldn't say I'm on their side because there's so much more I disagree with. It's a very simple concept that it didn't need this much explanation, but it's a lot of this kind of filibustering I noticed that I don't know that she thought that's what she was doing, but I don't think it was intentional per se, but it also was not helpful. A lot of what she said could have been cut off very early on if she would have allowed Sam to interrupt her and not have taken it as some sort of, I don't know, insult or something. I'm not sure how she took it, but she didn't take it very well. So then we go on a little more, and she again says she thinks that Sam's views are promoting a far-right narrative. So that's her thesis. Sam says, you can say it's promoting it as much as you want, but it doesn't mean it actually is. And Sam says, I criticize the far-right as much as anyone. And then Miriam interrupts and says, it's your opinion. You know, like, oh, that's your opinion. She does that a lot. And Sam says, look, it's fine to disagree, because she said, oh, we disagree. That's your opinion. We disagree. He says, it's fine to disagree, but you're demonizing the other person in such a way as to make conversation impossible, and you're misunderstanding the views. And he says, it's obvious that I don't agree that just because you share some tiny view with someone, then all your views are similar. It's obvious I wouldn't agree with that. And then he tries to get into his own views. He says, let's talk about my actual views on profiling. And so he kind of starts to do it, but he doesn't really get through it before she says, people on the far right use this to, you know, scapegoat Muslims and stuff. And then it kind of devolves again. So here's what I'd say is a real low point in the discussion. I'll go ahead and play a clip for you. What's important to know before hearing this clip is that Sam's made a point about Tommy Robinson that all he knew of Tommy Robinson is what he heard in the 60-minute interview with Dave Rubin. And Sam's contention is that there's nothing he heard in that interview which is bigoted. Sure, there may be other stuff that he doesn't know. So that should set it up, I think. The rest should become clearer.
if you look at Tommy Robinson, he didn't leave the English Defence League because he was concerned about the fascist elements in that group. He has continued to praise and defend the EDL until today. And if you look at his speeches at Pegida rallies, for example, he says that he realized that it was too soon. The EDL was too soon for Europe.
That's not actually what I heard him say. I want to clarify that.
My perspective on it, Sam. I'm sorry.
Okay, well,
that Tommy has such a wonderful defender from
on
your part.
No, it's not that. Miriam, that's not fair. This is just a single example of a person who I'm actually not very familiar with, who I know
maybe you should listen to me because I'm more familiar with him.
But you're not characterizing the view he expressed in this interview. Did you see his interview with Dave Rubin?
It doesn't matter. A lot of Islamists will come and tell you that Islam is a religion of peace. I'm sorry, you cannot judge political movements by, you know, Bush telling you that he's gone to Iraq because he wants to liberate women. It's not enough. I'm sorry, you know,
I fully grant that point.
I'm sorry, it's impossible to have a conversation because you constantly interrupt me. I let you speak for 5-10 minutes, and I don't want it to be the sort of adversarial discussion because we're not really going to get anywhere, and it's just we're not going to reach an understanding. And even if we don't agree, I would like us to be able to at least understand the other person's position. Do you know what I mean?
I totally understand what you mean, but I don't want you to assume a disagreement where there isn't one. And when I interrupt you, it's because
you're not letting me speak, and you keep saying but there is a disagreement.
Miriam. Miriam, I'm interrupting you when you are attacking me for a view or criticizing a view I don't have.
About Tommy Robinson.
Okay,
I don't know why you take it personally when I criticize.
Taking it personally. I just don't want us to be wasting our time or our listeners' time. That's it.
It's not a waste of time because isn't this the whole reason why we're having this discussion? Because there are differences of opinion.
Atheists. We haven't actually gotten to those differences of opinion. Listen, I will let you say whatever you want to say. My job is not to interrupt you, but I do have a job to try to get our conversation on track, and I'm noticing it go off track, and you're assuming that I have far more affinity for Tommy Robinson than I in fact do. And when you summarize his view as being in fact opposite of the only interview I've ever heard him give, then I can't sign off on the dotted line there and say, yes, that's the Tommy Robinson I was just defending. Okay,
here's what's important to note here at this point. And I measured this all pretty obsessive compulsively. She says, I let you speak for 5 to 10 minutes and you can't stop, you need to stop interrupting me, etc. At this point, the total time spent talking was 7 minutes 45 seconds for Sam and 13 minutes 39 seconds for Miriam. So she has nearly doubled his time. The longest time Sam got to talk without being interrupted was 3 minutes 43 seconds. So saying 5 to 10 minutes is completely wrong. And Miriam had a chunk of 4 minutes and a chunk of 3 minutes. She's gotten to speak a lot more. Sam has tried to interrupt just to clarify minor points, and she just will not let him clarify anything. She won't let him get on the same page on what they're actually arguing. It was highly frustrating. This back and forth, a quick back and forth, is actually important so that you don't waste a lot of time talking past each other. It's one of the best parts about having a dialogue rather than a debate. When you have a debate and you talk for 10 minutes and then the other person talks for 10 minutes and then they talk for 10 minutes, etc., it's really hard because you can pack so much misunderstanding into 10 minutes. But if you allow an actual back and forth, which is what I like to do on my show with someone like Tyler or someone like whoever I have on that I disagree with, I like to allow a back and forth so that we can make sure we're constantly engaging each other and not fake views. But Miriam just would not allow that to happen. I have to say I blame her for this more than Sam. I don't know what else to say about it. So I'm going to skip a bit. I obviously can't go through the whole thing at this pace, but I think I'm going to play a rather long clip, and that's going to be the last clip that I actually play from the episode because I don't want to use too much, you know, of their audio really for my podcast. But this is Sam setting about his views and then Miriam's response, which essentially encapsulates her entire response. So I think it's important to play this part, and then from there on, I can kind of summarize what happened after a little bit, and give you some more of my thoughts on it. So here's forgive the, it is a bit of a long clip, but it'll be the last that I play from the episode.
Let's talk about them. Let's start with profiling and what I've said about profiling and what you think about it, because clearly you think my views about profiling lead to a kind of collective punishment, collective blame, give energy to the bigots of the world. And I just think that's untrue. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about immigration. I mean, briefly on profiling. Now, again, profiling is this dirty word, and I don't think it should be, but it inherits all the baggage of other ugly words like pedophilia or bestiality or torture. And so the moment you seem to be giving a sympathetic construal of this word, you have a lot of work to do. But in my view, all profiling is to use some statistically relevant information in one's self-defense. And to be against profiling across the board, to be against profiling of any kind, is to be against using any relevant information to solve one's security problem. So, for instance, being against all profiling in intelligence gathering out in the world is to say that we should spend equal time scrutinizing the Amish or the Anglicans as we should members of the Muslim community, or indeed of the Muslim Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda, because to focus on Muslims at all, or even any specific group of Muslims, is profiling. And so I just put that to you. Wouldn't it be irrational when looking for suicidal terrorists who are planning to target civilians, say, to spend equal attention on all religious communities at this point?
Well, I mean, for me, I think why should the marker be even the idea of the fact that these people are characterized only as Muslims? People have a million characteristics that define them and that they define themselves by. Just to give you an example, if you look at those who've carried out terrorist attacks, for example, and we're only talking about here in the West, terrorist attacks take place every day in the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia, and we hardly get to hear about them. But you could say, for example, that is their main characteristic the fact that they're Muslim? Is it that they are university educated? Tommy Robinson talks about the jihadis from Luton. Is it something specific to do with Luton? I think you can pick out any one of these things. And if you want to say that this is the reason why these things happen, for me, I think it's not necessarily that they're Muslim that it's happening. It's not necessarily that they're refugees or migrants or university educated, but it is their political stance that determines that they are jihadis and terrorists. And it comes to behavior rather than the fact that they're brown or that they're Muslim or that they come from Iran or Iraq or what have you. Because as I said, not all Muslims think the same, just as not all Christians think the same, and that just like every, not necessarily every white male represents value. Also, not every brown Muslim represents Sharia values. And so I think there is that danger with profiling. Profiling is an ugly word because I think it is ugly, in the sense of the fact that it is seen to be, profiling of blacks, for example, in America. It does have that history to it. Profiling Muslims, it does raise those very same connotations. And I think there are some security experts that would agree with me as well that you need to profile behavior rather than one's race or religion and so on and so forth.
So that's pretty much all of Miriam's argument. I mean, she never gives any better detail than that. It's a constant litany of not all Muslims, not all Muslims, whereas she's saying profile the behavior. But then Sam says, well, how do you do that? I mean, in what way can you profile the behavior of being an Islamist that doesn't involve profiling you for being a Muslim? And I mean, I too am pretty puzzled at that. I don't really know. It's like Miriam saying you can cut right to the chase easier. You can actually, I mean, if it were assumed, for example, here's another way to show that this was a bad dialogue and that I mostly blame Miriam because she keeps saying things that Sam would agree with. I mean, but she says them as though she's disagreeing and then doesn't allow Sam to clarify and talk about it. Because if the option is should we profile just Islamists or all Muslims? Well, clearly the answer would be Islamists if we can. There's nothing about Sam's position that would require, like, he doesn't want, oh no, I don't just want to target Islamists. I want to include in that a bunch of people that aren't Islamists but are Muslims. He wouldn't agree to that. Obviously he wouldn't. No one would. His point is that you can't know who the Islamists are. You can't know who the jihadis are. There's no indicator of that. But you do know, this is Sam's point. I don't agree with the idea of profiling at the airport, but he is saying you can know that all jihadis are going to be Muslims. So in his mind, that part makes sense, that you can profile Muslims and then you've ruled out everybody else, and that makes your job easier. Now, again, my problem with Sam's view has to do with the practicality of it, but and that's what I see as a valid way of arguing it. There's other ways possibly that I don't know of that you could argue against it. I don't know. But Miriam's way is terrible. She just keeps saying, no, not all Muslims are terrorists. And it's like, yes, of course. Everyone knows that. Do we really need to keep doing this? Do we need to keep wasting our time saying not all Muslims are terrorists? Everybody knows that. Really, is there a serious person in the world who thinks every Muslim of the 1.5 billion or more is a terrorist? No one thinks that. Why do we keep having to say that? But this is essentially her response every time. But then what was so frustrating about it is she kept saying, but we do have to profile the behavior. We have to profile the extreme Islamists. And it's like, but she never offered how that might work. And Sam kept trying to get into the details, and she never would. And they never did, because she refused to. There came a point, I don't know if there's anything else I need to cover at the end of at the end of this debate about profiling, Sam kept trying to say, I'm trying to get into the details. And she said, you know what? We're done with this conversation. It's time to move on. We agree to disagree or whatever. And Sam said, no, it's not even clear that we disagree. We haven't even gotten to where we disagree. And she said, nah, it's, I've said all I want to say. And she ended the discussion. I think that was a real sign that she just didn't listen enough to actually have the discussion, despite the fact that I think in the end, I agree with her stance. But there's something, as I think Justin Schieber, well, a million people have said this, there's something even worse about someone who takes your position but does it for the wrong reasons or can't argue it well or argues it badly or fallaciously. It really bothers me. It's because it's an indicator. You know, you can't just trust someone because of one position they have. You want to feel like they're good at logic and determining what the right position is, so that you see them as a good person to listen to on a multitude of subjects. But when they agree with your position but then have terrible reasoning for it, it makes me doubt what her other positions might be. So I really don't know if you know, to what extent she's not good at thinking these things through, or maybe just isn't good at debating them, or this was caught her on a bad day. I really don't know. But I do have to say, I mean, I think she did a terrible job, and I think she was the reason this discussion went nowhere. Just to drive it home a little bit more, there was later on in the discussion when Sam said, okay, let's get into the specifics. How does the FBI, now this is not the airport, how does the FBI allocate their time? Do they interview the Amish, or do they interview an imam, or do they interview an imam in a mosque known to be a Salafi mosque? And Miriam says, well, of course, the Salafi mosque, because you're targeting Islamists, not Muslims. But Sam says, well, everybody at that mosque is going to think I'm just targeting Muslims, because he's ignoring the Amish in that situation. They're out of it. So he is targeting Muslims. And he says, is that okay? But we never get a satisfactory answer. You know, we never get an answer to that. She, once again, the very next section she goes into is, we can't profile individuals. We have to profile, you know, the political belief. And we go back into that, not every Muslim. And it just cycles so much that it becomes meaningless. So that's, again, that's kind of how the conversation ends. At one point, Sam says, well, what about the niqab? Can we at least say, if you're wearing a niqab, you're in a select group that's more likely to be jihadi or Islamist or whatever. And maybe that's a way we could differentiate, because Sam was trying to go with what Miriam was saying. Well, let's differentiate the Muslim, just everyday Muslim, from a Muslim who might be an Islamist. And she said, no, you can't profile, because not everyone who wears a niqab is a terrorist. Well, yeah, if there was a way to get directly to the everyone who does this is a terrorist, if that existed, that's what you would do. It would be easy. There would be no question. If there was some every single person who does X or looks like X or is X is a terrorist, we would have no terrorism. It would be incredibly easy. But it's not. It's obviously not easy. That's not reality. Reality is we have to do our best with our limited time and resources to try to prevent a deadly attack. We have to do our best. And sometimes in order to do that, we may need to target our resources on a specific group. Now, again, to say for a millionth time, I think if you look at the conversation Sam had back in 2012 that I referenced, then you'll see some good practical reasons why profiling might not work. And that's something you guys can take a look at if you haven't already and make a decision. But that's actually taking Sam's arguments and working with them and saying they don't work for these reasons. That's different than just repeating over and over, well, not all this, not all Muslims, not all whatever. That doesn't do anything. I think one more thing that Sam points out in this argument that is, I think, mistaken, actually more so in that blog post from 2012 that I linked, his conversation with that security expert, is that the cost of a false positive is not very high in this situation. People are making it out to be like it's this horrible thing, when in reality it just means stopping, asking someone who is possibly a terrorist, asking them another question or two, maybe looking in their bag. And that's the only additional cost. So in Sam's mind, that minor additional cost of a false positive is worth the reduction in wasted time that we go over, you know, the bags of an 80-year-old woman or what have you, somebody who's obviously not a terrorist. So that's his argument there. And that's something I wanted to bring up because it is a good argument. There's not a lot of wasted cost there. But again, that was something that I think – I don't even know if him and Miriam ever touched on that, because this conversation went nowhere. So now I want to talk about further evidence after the fact that leads me to the conclusion that the onus was on Miriam to have a better discussion, because when I've already shared some of her tweets that I read to you. There's even more. What happened after, which was so frustrating, was that Miriam retweeted anyone who agreed with her for any reason, even if it was a bad reason, and then called out people who had terrible reasons for disagreeing with her. So that's a pattern that's very easy to fall into, and it's very frustrating. Here's the fact of the matter. Sam Harris has a large, large following. You're going to find a ton of people, who are terrible arguers, who are then, when Miriam comes on this podcast and has the conversation she has, you get a bunch of people being, for lack of a better word, complete assholes. And that, for that, I mean, Miriam is owed a sincere apology for that. Not by Sam. It's not something he can control. He even tweeted. Sam's only tweet after this, he had two tweets. So this is how we kind of can judge how this went. Sam had a tweet that said, I've seen that some people are being very insulting and nasty toward Miriam. Please don't do that. And Miriam said, you don't need to do that, Sam. I can take it. Which, hey, credit to her. I understand. So, you know, kind of credit to both of them on that. And then Sam's second tweet was just about so many people were saying that it was a waste of 2 hours. So he just joked like, oh, I'm going to start building a time machine. And I think the only thing he meant by that was like, well, there's nothing I can do about that. Like, if you listen to it and you wanted your 2 hours back, I don't know why you're writing me about it. I can't do anything. So that's it. That's it. That's all Sam's tweets was. Miriam had about a billion tweets. There's no way to go through all of them. And like I said, most of them were tweeting people, retweeting people who agreed with her, even though they had terrible reasoning and terrible summaries of the conversation. And that's what really blows my mind. Now, I've been pretty hard on Miriam, so I will say, I'm going to be hard on some other people. So Sam Harris fans, if you're listening, and basically this goes for anyone, really, but people need to be better. I mean, what can happen when you have a bunch of fans of Sam Harris who go nuts at Miriam and say sexist things, because one of the things about Miriam Namazi is she's done a lot of nude protests. That's one thing she's done. It's something that I think is pretty courageous. She said Islamism wants to hide women's bodies. It wants to cover us in burqas and all that. We are rebelling. We're going to do a nude protest. They write things on their bodies and they do things. And I think that's interesting. I think that's admirable. I don't really have any problem with it. I don't know why anyone would. But what's unfortunate is when people like want to go against Miriam on anything, and a lot of the Sam Harris fans did this, they start getting all sexist with insults about her body and how it looks and stuff. And that, why are we doing that? Like, can't we grow out of that? Can't we get past that? So in some sense, I have a bit of sympathy for when, you know, Miriam is having a hard time with Sam Harris fans and saying, like, I can't believe all these people are coming to his defense and all that. It granted, I think she was ultimately wrong in the discussion, but I don't blame her for having a skewed view of Sam Harris fans when she gets a lot of awful, nasty insults at her. So really, we need to be better. I mean, as a community, there's nothing... I don't think I have those people listening for the most part. If I do, just don't do that. It doesn't help anything. It's sexist. I guess I can't change your mind. If you apparently think it's appropriate, an appropriate criticism of someone to tweet that their naked body doesn't look good, like that's an appropriate thing to tweet at someone. It's just not. Like, it's irrelevant. It has nothing. She knows how her body looks, and that's the end of the story. You're not. You don't need to judge it. She's not interested in your opinion of it. There's none of that. That's useless. I don't know why these people are still around, and there's a lot of them. So that's some criticism I have for that side. I really think we need to put a stop to that. Just imagine if we lived in a perfect world where all of Sam Harris's followers asked tough questions, said, "Hey, Miriam, I think you dodged this question here. I think you did a poor job here. You should have answered this." If she just got that, can you imagine how different her reaction would be? She wouldn't have the easy out of retweeting the awful critics and saying, setting it as an example of here's some awful criticism, and then getting to strawman the other side. She has the option, and anyone who argues with Sam Harris, and I include CJ Wurlman, I include Glenn Greenwald, anybody who argues, who's against Sam Harris, they have a very easy out, because all they have to do is point to all these morons who follow him and then defend him terribly. And then they can, that's their easy straw man of like, oh, look at, here's Sam Harris's follower. And I know we're never going to get rid of that. I mean, there's that quote, famous quote, that there's no cause so good that you can't find a fool following it, I think is how it goes. That's always going to be true. But it would help if we could lower the amount of like sexual insults that women get when disagreeing with Sam Harris. Like, that's not helpful at all. So that's highly frustrating. But I will say one thing you can't blame Sam Harris fans for, or Sam Harris for, is Miriam Namazi retweeting people that were speaking nonsense about the dialogue. And I'll give you a good example here. Miriam retweeted a long series, probably like 5 or 6 tweets, from someone at Kieran Opal. I don't know if I should give that out or it matters. I don't think I have people who follow me who like harass people. Don't harass anybody. Don't do it. But she retweeted, you can find it in Miriam's timeline if you want to anyway, several tweets that all showed just a complete lack of understanding of what was happening. Again, you can disagree with Sam Harris. That's not a problem. But when you display a complete lack of understanding of what just happened, like you don't even know how the dialogue went, like you're describing it inaccurately, it's a different story. You know, you can't just disagree for the sake of disagreeing. So here's him in all caps: "Let him explain everything to you, Miriam. White atheist dude bro knows better everything. Miriam is talking about Tommy and Sam Harris keeps interrupting her and then saying he's not. This guy is a nut bar. No wonder his culties are too. Profiling is like pedophilia and bestiality to Sam Harris, but he still defend it. Sam Harris equates all believers to neo-Nazis, then talks about reaching out to them to find jihadis among them. What's he smoking? That never happened. Thank you, Miriam, for bringing..." This was the most amazing to me. There was a time, and I can't remember if I played it. I'm blanking on if I played this one. But Miriam pointed out what we should be doing instead of profiling at the airport is looking at our relationship with the Saudi regime. To which Sam Harris said, I agree. I agree with you. You get no disagreement with me. He said several times, you know what? You're right. We should do that. You get no disagreement with me. And then here's this person tweeting, thank you, Miriam, for bringing up the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia, dismissed by Smarmosaurus Rex over here. I don't get it. Like, where? How do you have such a different reality? I mean, I don't get it. Sam Harris thinks there are jihadist families in the airport. Nope, never said that. Harris seems baffled at the idea that all people want a better life because they're human beings like you. Stop dehumanizing immigrants. There was one here, too. Here's another one. I'm a refugee, too. Harris and his culties would ask me the same questions. Why don't you hate all Muslim men? Aren't you escaping them? No one wants you to hate all Muslim men. No one is saying that. How are people able to just straw man so completely that if you ask Sam Harris this question, he would say, I disagree with the entire premise of your question. Don't you realize that? Like, I don't get it. They don't see that my brothers, my father, my uncles, my cousins, many people I love are also Muslim men. And these were all, of course, retweeted by Miriam because I don't know if she was feeling defensive or maybe self-conscious that maybe she knew the dialogue didn't go well. She was retweeting anyone who had anything nice to say about her and bad to say about Sam Harris, which is a bad idea. Sam Harris didn't do the same thing. Now, granted, there is a bit of a power dynamic here. Harris has the bigger following. She came on his show, so it's going to be his fan. You know, so I get that. I mean, I understand that he's in a better position to take the high road and not have to do all that. But I still think if she really had confidence in her performance, she would have let it speak for itself and not feel the need to retweet people who horribly misrepresent it and say idiotic things about Sam Harris. So I think I know this is a bit of mind reading, but it's just a guess. Like, I think she kind of felt that it didn't go the way she wanted to, but I don't know. She also seemed highly in denial about what actually happened. So looks like we're plumb out of time here. And I hope you've enjoyed this analysis. I only went halfway through it. Oh, most important thing. I can't believe I forgot. This makes Miriam look even worse because of all the tweets she had about, oh, he didn't want to listen to me. He didn't want to listen to me. He just wanted to have me on and say whatever. At the end of this 50 minutes, now I didn't include the immigration segment, so that could change things. But at this 50 minutes where they talked about profiling, Sam Harris talked for a total of 19 minutes and Miriam talked for 31 minutes. That was the difference in the talk. That's like almost 2-1, maybe not quite, you know, 1.7-1, whatever it is. But it is far out of balance. 19 minutes versus 31 minutes of Miriam talking. So the idea that Sam Harris is some a-hole who's just going to have you on and shout over you and not let you talk, I mean, that is just a completely distorted view of what happened. So and people can feel free to check my math. Obviously, that's not going to be exactly right because it's tough to get when everybody was talking. But it was pretty easy to just get – I divided all the sections when one person was talking or whatever. Or when they were both talking, I just split it in half for the whatever segment of time where they were going back and forth. So it could vary by, you know, a few tens of seconds. But that's pretty close to exact. So 19 minutes versus 31 minutes, pretty crazy. And in my mind, another reason why I think Harris did the better job in this one, even though I disagree with his profiling conclusion and am still agnostic on migration. I don't know. I think a lot of that may depend on what specific borders we're talking about. I think it's going to be a lot different depending on the country you're talking about. But I do err towards wanting to take in refugees. Like, I want to help refugees more than I'm worried about the terrorism that's going to come with it. But I do see the concerns. So that's just to put a tiny summary on that. People can, if you want to send me messages or go on atheisticallyspeaking.com and comment on your thoughts, I'd appreciate it. Now, in the talk I'll be posting on Thursday that I had with Ina, we did talk about migration a bit. So it'll be interesting to hear that. Now that, of course, I have to say that was before all this. So I kind of want to see if Ina wants to talk again in light of this conversation. We'll see. I don't know. But as usual, thank you guys for listening. Please review the show on iTunes. I'm not sure what's going on here. I think that not all the reviews count, or maybe it's because of the international nature of my audience. But as I said before, I've had way more people do the surveys that I ask. That I asked for, then have done the iTunes reviews. If you can just go onto iTunes, please review the show. Here's my race to 500. I want to get to 500 reviews. I'm at 194 right now. So it has gone up. I've gotten about, 73 since I asked you guys to do it. I really appreciate all 73 of those. I really do. And guys, this helps get the show out there. This helps get more listeners, and this helps build the community. So we have got a community of intelligent listeners who I just love to interact with. So thank you. You're really helping. Please, my race to 500 reviews. It sounds like it's going to take a few years now, but maybe not. If everyone just did it, it would be done. So please do that. Thank you for listening so much. If you'd like to support me, patreon.com/atheist. And patrons will get the Ina episode early. I'll make sure to post that a bit early for you guys. So that being said, I will talk to you on Thursday.